And family of GCBCR, good morning. Morning. It's good to be back. I heard a lot of good things about what happened last Sunday. We want to thank our Friday youth worship team for leading worship last Sunday. We want to thank Stuart for helping hold down the fort and all the teachers who got involved in getting ministry going. It's just such a huge blessing to be part of a community where we have each other's back. So praise God. Okay, this morning we have an interesting topic. It's called, What's Your Life Mission? Okay, I'm just curious. This is genuine curiosity. So if we have a mic runner at the back, Isabella's going to run with the mic. I'm just curious. When you wake up in the morning, what is that drive you have? What is that life mission you have that makes you get out of bed and say, all right, I'm going to go do what I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to make these decisions. I'm going to choose to talk to this person. I'm going to go to this place so that all these things that I'm doing today leads up to my life mission, okay? So what is it that drives you in your life? Anyone? All right, Sean over there, someone with a mic. Sean, what is your life mission?
My life mission is to become president.
To become president. Hey, that's a great life mission. The Yang Gang might beat you to it, I don't know. But Sean will represent. What about the adults? What are some of the young adults? I'm curious. What is your life mission? What do you wake up and say, oh, this is what I'm going to spend all my time, resources, energy, money on? College and young adults. Raise your hand. I know you're in here. Don't try to look down at your bulletin because I'm just going to call you out. All right, Jordan, what's your life mission?
To make it out of the bed every morning.
To make it out. Okay, pretty low bar. Just get out of bed. But the life mission is I'm going to supplement and say, all right, to get up so that I can face the beauty of life. Okay. I might have made that sound a little better then. What about older adults? What is your drive when you wake up from your bed? Some of the older ones. All right, Kim, what you got? Lee Kim.
I have a bill to pay, my college bill to pay.
All right, so she's thinking, I got to pay my bills. That's my life mission. Hopefully you don't pay bills till you get like in your retirement, okay? But what I'm trying to get at is that all of us have different life missions. We wake up and there's things on our mind that drives what we do, right? And some of them are very noble. So like this guy, maybe his life mission is to climb the highest mountain, right? And that's what he drives through every day. Some of us have very noble missions. I know whenever you watch like beauty pageants or, you know, whatever competition, a lot of their life mission is to solve world hunger. So that's a standard message. We hear a lot of people who say, you know, I just want to be happy in life. I want to pursue fullness of life. I want to enjoy life. I want to pursue joy and happiness. And that's a great life mission. Some of us want to pursue fame, prestige. Some of us want to pursue academics. And so these are all great life missions. But the question we want to struggle and kind of work through today is, are those the right kind of life mission that we're going to pursue, okay? So if we're going to pour everything that we have into this, our life, our youth, for those who are younger, our time, our money, our resources, if you're going to be pouring all these things, paying bills, is that the right life mission to pursue, right? And I think if we are a Christian, then the more important question we need to be asking ourselves is, what is God's life mission for us? If we have a creator who created us and designed us and he knows what we're designed for, what is the life mission that he has created for us, right? And then we want to ask another question that says, if now we know what is God's life mission for us, then is it aligned to our personal life mission? Are we in sync? Are we really off? Is it aligned or is it not? And so those are important questions we're going to get into today, and that is going to be in Mark chapter, we're in Mark chapter 6. So if you will turn to Mark chapter 6, verse 7, that's what we're going to be unfolding and unpacking and asking, what is our life mission? What is God's life mission for me? Am I aligned with His mission? And before we dive into it, let me give some context here. Jesus spent about 3 years or so doing ministry. So when he got like 30, 31 years old, that's when he started his ministry, and he went in for about 3 years before he was crucified on the cross, resurrected, and ascended to heaven. Okay, so there was about a three-year period where he was actively going out and doing ministry. And early on in this 3 years is when he recruited his disciples, okay? So the first, we're about halfway through his ministry right now. So about a year in, okay, a handheld mic. So we're about a year and a half in, and these disciples have spent a year and a half knowing Jesus, okay? They spent time hanging out with him, they spent time eating with him, they spent time listening to what he had to teach, not just them personally, but also the crowd. They spent time being very intimate relationship with Jesus, right? They're eating together, they're sleeping together, they're doing all kinds of things in a very intimate setting. And so they spent a good chunk of their life knowing Jesus Christ, who he is, what is his mission, what is his purpose. And so we are at a very critical turning point in their relationship with Jesus Christ right now. It's a very, very important turning point because Jesus is going to tell them that your entire life isn't just about knowing me. Knowing me is a great start. That's what Jesus wants us to know, right? He came to earth so that we may know him, we may know the Father, so that we may know we are sinners and we can repent of our sin and have eternal life in God. And that's very important things that Jesus wants us to know about him. You can run up here. Thanks. All right, so those are important things that Jesus wants us to know about him. But that's not the only thing, right? We come to church, we hang out, we learn about the Bible, about God, about the Son of God. We learn about the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, Sunday school, small groups. These are all exercises and time we spend knowing Jesus, and that's good. But that can't be all that we do, because Jesus is going to show us in this passage today there needs to be a turning point in all of our lives. There's a second part, there's a second chunk to what being a follower of Jesus means. And this is the passage where we're going to see that, where Jesus says, all right, you've known me enough, disciples, now I'm going to turn your focus to something else. So let's get into this passage and ask, what is that something else that Jesus have for us? What is that mission that he has for us? Mark chapter 6, verse 7 through 13. Mark chapter 6, verse 7 through 13. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place would not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. What is this big turning point I'm talking about? God's life mission for all of us, and this doesn't matter if you're whether you're Christian or not. Okay, God's life mission for all of us, every single created human that he loves, is to know his son Christ, Jesus Christ, and to make him known. Okay, we spend a lot of time knowing about Christ. That's what we do as a community here. But we also need to know that Jesus' life mission for every single one of us is to make him known. We may know that as different terms, evangelism. We may know that as going on mission, living a missional life. That's what we're talking about, right? And Christ, if you just kind of go through scripture and say, what is God's life mission for every single human being? It would be this, to know Christ and to make him known. Every single one of us. And so here Jesus turns a very, very important life stage for his disciples. He says, you've known me enough, now I'm going to send you out.
You're going to make me known among the nations. This passage, although it's just so short, is so deep. It has a lot of deep theological implications to our daily living, okay? And so we're going to glean about five principles here for what does it mean to make Jesus known? What does it mean to make Jesus known? Because if that's our life mission, if that's what we wake up every morning thinking about, to know Jesus deeply and to make him known, we would be good to listen to the principles that Christ has for us here. Okay, so I'm going to talk about five principles, and then we're going to send you out this month to do something very special. So essentially what's going on here is Jesus is sending his disciples on the first ever short-term mission trip. That's what it is. It's a short-term mission trip. He's sending them out two by two to go to different towns and villages and to come back to him and to report what happened. So here's five principles for being on mission, living a missional life, how to make Jesus known in our daily life, okay? The first one in verse 7, it says, he sent them out. So this is not something that all of us can avoid. When Jesus ascended, one of the big commands he gave to his disciples are the Great Commission, right? Go to all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey my commands. That's like every single Christian's life mission right there. The Great Commission. And so we can't avoid it. It's something that we know ought to be part of our life to go out and tell people about Christ. So that's the first one, is every single one of you here, as you're going about in your daily life, the Great Commission ought to be on your mind. You know, who are the people around me in my school, in my workplace? When I go to the mall, when I buy a coffee at the coffee shop, who are the people around me that God has put in my area of influence that I need to make Jesus known to them? The second principle here is he sent them out two by two. Okay, so going on mission is always a team thing, right? We are a community here. We went out this past Saturday. For those who were involved, thank you so much. It was so great. They went out into Goochland to serve the community. And I don't know if you guys were on the church WeChat, but it kind of blew my mind away that when we sent close to 70 people from our church out into the community yesterday, I started seeing all these pictures and videos pour into the WeChat group. It wasn't something I was expected, and I didn't expect that I would react that way to it. When I was reading it and I was seeing it, my heart just got filled with so much joy. You know, we went out and did simple things. Okay, cleaning up, repairing ramps. It wasn't anything hardcore, right? It's just doing typical things that we might do at home. But the stories that poured in is what really shook me. I know some of you guys were at Goochland Cares. There was a specific team that was fixing the ramp at the emergency housing in Goochland Cares. And Sujin, which is Katie's dad, he shared that as they were working on that, one of the guy from the emergency housing came out just to see what was going on. And one of our volunteers that were there shared the gospel with him, and he accepted Christ on the spot. All right, they were just going about doing regular things, fixing ramps. But they took that opportunity to make Jesus known to that person, and that person accepted Christ. That's amazing, guys. That's the kind of life that God calls us out to. You don't need to be doing amazing things. You just need to go out as a community to serve the community and make Jesus known. Here's the third principle. It says, take nothing. Literally, it says, don't take money, don't take food. Just go with a staff and wear sandals and don't even take extra clothing, right? Jesus is saying, travel light. Travel light, don't be bogged down by things that we like to surround ourselves with. A lot of nice things, a lot of activities, things we fill our schedule up with. He's saying, travel light. The less things you have, the less worry you're going to have. The less things you have, the less problems you're going to have. Travel light. Know that your life mission is to make Jesus known. And so don't pack your life and schedule with a lot of unnecessary things that do not match up to the mission that God has for you. Number four, it says, if any place you go to do not welcome you or listen, leave that place and shake off the dust. I think this is why many of us don't share the gospel, because we're fear that people are going to reject us. We're afraid we're going to offend people. We're afraid that people aren't going to welcome us any longer, or we're going to, you know, destroy a friendship. Or I think this is the main reason why many of us don't share the gospel. I really do. But Jesus says, expect that. Go expect that and shake it off. Because for each person that won't listen to the good news of Jesus Christ, another person will. And that person is going to experience the transformative power of God in their lives. So don't withhold that from the next person just because you got rejected today and then you say, that's it, I'm done. I'm not sharing the gospel anymore because I don't want to offend people. I don't want to impact other people's lives. Okay? Get over it. Jesus says, shake it off and move on. Tell the next person the good news of Jesus Christ. And here's the last one. It says, many sick people were healed. Demons was cast away. Many people repented. This is the one that I get excited the most, is that when you go out and you share the gospel with others, you really do get to see life transform. You really do get to see marriages transform. You really get to see parents transform. You get to see all kinds of transformation that Scripture promised. It says when you are in Christ, the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is going to give you wisdom. The Holy Spirit is going to give you this and that. And you're going to be transformed into the likeness of Christ. It is amazing to be able to see that in the lives of others and also to see that in your own life. And so those are the five principles. One, we are all sent out ones. Okay? You can't run away from that. Number two, go in teams. Go in pairs. Don't do this alone. Number three, travel light. Don't surround yourself with too much stuff that you get worried and burdened and bogged down with. Number four, expect rejection, but shake that off and move on. And finally, expect to witness the power of God in your life and in others as you make Him known. So I want to share this, the very first short-term mission trip we ever did in our church. Okay, so this was back in 2015. I think we were about 3 to 4 years into our English ministry in this church, in this building. Okay, so one of the things I was thinking is, okay, we spent all this time in Sunday school, we spent all this time in small group, let's do a short-term mission trip. And this was our very first short-term mission trip. Can you guys tell who's from the left to right? Who's the first guy on the left? Jalen? It's Oliver. Okay, Oliver Song. Who's the second one? Is John here? No? So John was on our very first short-term mission trip to Philadelphia. The next one is me. Who's the next guy? Sam. And then who's that girl? It's Veronica. And the last one, Alice. Oliver, John, Veronica were in college. I and Sam were working. Alice was the only youth from our church that went on that short-term mission trip. Okay, our very first short-term mission trip, we had one youth that went. And I want to show you what we did there and try to think about the principles that Jesus gave us to those 12 disciples as He sent them out two by two, okay? Did we live those principles? Here's the first one. That's Pastor Joseph Randall, right in the middle. We were going out into the neighborhood. All we had was a backpack. That was it. We went out, we went to tell the neighborhood about a church. His church was called Only Baptist Church. And so we went out door by door saying, hey, there's a church here who would love to invest in your life. If there's anything the church can help, go to that church. The other thing we were also doing was to tell them about a kids' carnival that we were doing end of the week. And so to promote that, we were inviting children to come. Okay, so we sent them out two by two. You'll see Oliver went with John, Veronica went with Alice, I went with Sam. So we went out two by two in our neighborhood, in the neighborhood in Philly. This is Alice. She's handing out invitations to the church. We were hitting up all the Asian restaurants, hot wok. That's Oliver and I think John. Then you got Sam. Sam was going into like all the Chinese markets. And so we were going out telling people about the church. Anywhere there was a Korean store, we would send Veronica in because she likes to watch like Korean soap operas. So she could kind of speak Korean. So we would send her in. So this was the end of the week, the carnival. We had a bunch of kids that came. We just did toys out in the front. We did a lot of games. That's Sam and Oliver. This was indoors. A lot of the girls wanted to be indoors. And this is where we told the gospel. So we did a lot of gospel games, things that would share what Jesus did, who he was, why he came. And we would even give invitations for those who wanted to accept Christ as Lord and Savior. I was walking around with that on my head because I was doing twisty balloons, and all the kids really liked that. And so, you know, we weren't doing anything really special. We were just hanging out with kids, playing games with them. But while we were doing that, we were sharing the gospel. We were making Jesus known. I got to give a shout out to Dollar Tree. It is the best. Okay, every time we go out to any mission trip, Dollar Tree like funds all the stuff we need. They don't give it to us for free, but whenever we do activities, we always hit it up because that's where all the cheap stuff is. This one was interesting. This was middle of the week where Pastor Joseph has this ministry where he's doing street preaching, okay? So this is a transportation center where the first level are buses and in the bottom are trains, so like subway stations. And so we would stand at the corner where people would go in and out. That's Veronica and Oliver. They were singing worship songs, okay? So as people were walking in and out, they were just singing worship songs. And people would stop by and listen, and some would even sing with them. And then this was the other thing. Alice, myself, we were making balloons. We were handing it out to little kids that were walking by. As we handed out balloons to them, we would tell them about the church. We would invite them to the carnival. And you see there, there's a guy in the corner. He's preaching. That guy was a seminary student, and he was there that week helping Pastor Joseph with street preaching. And so they took turns preaching, and in between the preaching, Oliver and Veronica would play worship songs. And I will tell you, Veronica and Oliver didn't want to do it. They were like, I don't want to be doing this because people are going to, you know, be angry at me. Why am I making all this noise? Why am I telling people about Jesus? But can I tell you, they had the most positive experience. People, like I said, would stand there, they would listen to the song, they would sing with them. In fact, Veronica got to engage in a gospel conversation with a very young man who was standing there, and they were talking about why Christ was the only way to salvation. What you don't see here was there were also people who rejected what we were doing. Alice specifically, she was going into the bus station where people were sitting, and I saw her talking to this guy, okay? He's a huge, I mean, he was like 3-4 times the size of Alice. And I saw him getting really kind of agitated. So I went in and stood in between them. And this guy was saying, you know, how Christianity is a white man's religion. And he started going off with like really radical statements. And so we stood there and we talked to him. We talked to him about the gospel. We helped him understand why Christ came to die for all of us. It's not a skin or ethnic thing. And in the end, it ended up being a very good conversation. In fact, the lady beside him was sitting there listening the whole time, and she asked us which church we went to, and so we told them about Only Baptist Church so that she can go visit that church, right? So these are things that we were doing. I want to show you this guy. This guy's Ryan. Most of us think about street preachers like, oh, that guy's hardcore, that guy's radical, you know, I don't ever want to do street preaching. I had that mindset when I went there for a mission trip. This guy is a living testimony that street preaching still works. Okay, his name is Ryan. He showed up one day while we were doing this, and he started handing out the invitations to the church for us. And so I talked to him. I'm like, hey, I don't know who you are, but we are a mission team here this week. We're helping Pastor Joseph do this. And he shared his testimony with us. He said he was the result of street preaching. He said a couple months ago, he was there at that transportation center, and he heard Pastor Joseph preaching, and he accepted Christ then. And now he comes out every week and he helps Pastor Joseph hands out those materials, right? So he's a living testimony that you could just be hanging out in a transportation center talking about Jesus and people will come to know Christ as a result of that. This one was the one that I feared the most. We knew we were going to go to a clinic. It's sort of like a Planned Parenthood, but not quite. But it is an abortion clinic. And so I was dreading that the whole week. Like, I didn't want to go there. I wanted the pastor to change his plans. But it's something that he does. Every Thursday, he goes to this medical center. and he hands out these handouts about adoption. And so he would tell the girls who are walking in to say, don't abort your child. And he would give them these tracts about adoption. He would give them like alternate ways for them to keep the child. And he would tell them that God loves their child and not to get rid of that child. I didn't want to do it, but he gave me the sign to hold, right? I didn't want any of our teenagers to hold it. So I sacrificed myself and I held the sign. It was very traumatic for me. But I was holding it and I was thinking, oh my gosh, people are going to spit in my face. You know, people are going to come up and kick me and they're going to yell at me. That was what I was expecting. But what I got was the most overwhelming positive feedback. I stood there with a sign, and then women would come up to me, okay? Like, there was this one lady, she came up to me and she said, you know, because what Pastor Joseph was doing, she saved her child. So she didn't abort the child, she saved it, and she said this was the biggest blessing for her. I had another lady, she was, I think she was like sanitation or something, she was cleaning the road. She came up to me and she said, you know what, I wish you were there at the place where I aborted my child, because it is the deepest, worst regret I've ever had the rest of my life. And so I got this kind of positive feedback while I was doing this. It was just something I totally wasn't expecting. I was more self-focused. I'm like, oh, I don't want people to think I'm crazy and radical. But these are women. They're walking up to me and telling me these things. And so when we go out and share the love of Christ and we tell them that God loves everyone, even the child that's in your tummy, people's lives do get changed. You know, don't just because someone yells at you and say, get off. In fact, I think there was a guy, he was driving by and he yelled at Oliver. He said, get off the street. And that was about it. That was the only negative experience we had. But other than that, it was very overwhelmingly positive. And so we want to tell people that God loves everyone, even babies. So this is what I'm going to do for you this week. I want to send each one of us out, okay? You have a handout in your bulletin that says evangelism during Halloween, how to honor Christ in a celebration that is sort of controversial. Some churches hate it, some for it, some are neutral. So we're not going to debate what is the stand of, you know, our church. What I'm going to tell you is, what other day of the year will people willingly just show up at your doorstep? None, okay? You don't have to do anything. You don't need to be sent out. You don't need to go out. You don't need to do anything. People just come willingly show up in your doorstep. So you got 10 things on there that I would challenge you to do this month. During Halloween, do one of these or several of them. Number one, just show love. Don't be that mean Christian neighbor who yells at people who come to your doorstep and say, that's the devil, that's evil. Okay, don't be that mean neighbor. Show love to them, smile to them. Secondly, enjoy getting to know your neighbor. These people are going to come to your house. Get to know them. Ask them which house they live in. Ask them why their kids are dressed as, right? Some people hang out in the neighborhoods. Go walk your neighborhood and talk to them. Number three, go trick or treat with a new family. And I love this. When we first joined this church, there were families that went out trick-or-treating and they actually invited us to join them. I think that's really cool. And so if you know someone at work, someone at church, someone in your school who would benefit from going with you, and that becomes an opportunity for you to share the gospel with them, do it. Okay, pull someone with you to do this and then get to know them, make Christ known to them. Number four, get your kids to dress up as a biblical character. I know most kids want to dress up like a Disney princess or something Disney related, but don't make them, okay? Suggest to them to dress up in a biblical character. That's going to stir up conversations. When you go to people's houses, they're going to ask, oh, who are you dressed up as, right? And you tell them, I'm Moses, and you tell them the story about Moses. So that's a great way to share Christ during Halloween. Number five, give out Bible verses. That's what you have in your pack today. That's just a sample. You know, take a bag, put a Bible verse in it, put some candy, some chocolate. That could be a great way when people come to your house for you to share with them. Number six, when parents come, share with them some coffee, hot chocolate, cider, whatever. And then make it an opportunity for you to chat with your neighbors. Talk to them, get to know them. Number seven is reverse. So instead of having people come to your house, you go to every house and you give them stuff. Number eight, tell them about All Hallows Eve. Anyone know what All Hallows Eve is here? No? Yeah, it's actually a Christian celebration. We don't do it here, but it's called All Hallows Eve, which is also known as All Saints Eve, which is also Halloween. But the idea here is that the churches celebrate the saints who have been martyred and passed away, and they celebrate the death of and resurrection of Jesus Christ during All Hallows Eve. And number nine, do a pumpkin carving contest. We do this with the youth sometimes, and we ask them to invite their friends over, and they'll carve like biblical characters, or they'll carve like biblical stories. And as part of the biblical storytelling, when they're talking about what they carve, they share the gospel. Okay, these are creative ways to share the gospel. You don't have to shove the gospel down people's throat. And last and not least, if your child isn't, they don't know about Christ, make sure you tell them first. So these are things that I would challenge you. You got 2 weeks to prepare for this. Pick one or a couple that you're going to do. And we are sending you out this month to share Christ and to make him known. Okay? You guys going to accept this challenge? Yes, okay, accept this challenge. This is a small little practice for all of us to be sent out once, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so good, God. We thank you, Lord, for this passage. We know that being sent out and making Jesus known is something that's very uncomfortable for many of us, Lord. I pray that you demolish that attitude, Lord. Help us see what a great God you are. Help us see that we're telling people the greatest message in the world. Help us see that when we tell them this message and when they accept Christ, their lives are going to be transformed to the likeness of Christ, Lord. What better message, what greater message can we tell someone that we love? And so, Lord, help us have that boldness as we go out this month. Help us have opportunities, Lord, that you would divinely appoint so that we can share the gospel and make you known to our neighbors. We give you praises for who you are, Christ. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to invite Helen and Tom up here. They're going to very briefly talk about